Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. This is Deacon Louis Zemlich here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. We're glad you're with us here today on this Sunday, June 23rd, the Solemnity of the Most Holy Body and Blood of Christ. And, of course, this is a great feast in the Church, also known as Corpus Christi, the Body of Christ. And, this is one of the great pillars of the Church. One of the great things about Catholicism, the Catholic Church, the original Christian Church, this is, every Mass that is celebrated, we receive Holy Communion. And, of course, I know many of my Protestant brothers and sisters out there, hello to you all. We love you, and we want you to come home. Sometimes our Protestant brothers and sisters or people in the Bible churches will have communion once a week or once a month. And some take it very seriously, others not. Some will just have Ritz crackers and grape wine. But at the Last Supper, my brothers and sisters, on Holy Thursday, Jesus took bread, broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it. For this is my body, which will be given up for you." And those same words are said at Mass, my brothers and sisters, by Jesus Christ, persona in Christe, by the priest. See? As the man Jesus. It's very powerful. John chapter 6 is where most of this Eucharistic teaching comes from. Eucharist, this Thanksgiving. But we've got a lot to go through, a lot of scriptures to go through today. My voice is a little bit scratchy, so I apologize for that. Excuse me, a little bit of allergies going on there. So I'll be taking a little sip of coffee every so often and water. But believe me, my brothers and sisters, you're going to want to stay tuned for this program and listen to these scriptures. And interestingly enough, we're not going to be preaching from John chapter 6. We're going to be preaching from Luke. The Church has chosen Luke on this year to Luke chapter 9. And I've got some exciting news for the end there, too, about this. And a lot of my Protestant brothers and sisters are going to be very amazed by this. When you hear these words, when you hear what comes out of 1 Corinthians 11. So, do a little bit of housekeeping in case you're interested in anything about the Catholic Church. You can go to the Diocese of Kalamazoo website, which is diokzoo.org. You can also go to holyfamilyradio.net. They archive our radio program. Or you can go to my website, which is deaconlouiszemlich.com. Another thing to mention too, my brothers and sisters, as we continue to pray, to try to save the historic chapel and mother house on Gall Road. And my wife is spearheading that, but I'm, each week I try to remind people, and of course during the week, remind people to go to the website, savenazareth.com, post it up on your social media, sign the petition, make the phone calls. There's tons of information there. Please, 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 you must act now. We're probably 80%, this is probably 80% over, heading to 90% over. Those bulldozers could run through those buildings at any given day. But your prayers, but also action. Action is important too. Make those phone calls. Send those letters. Send those emails. Reach out to people that you know. We want that to be a community center there. We want that to be a focal point. I know the diocese is still interested. They've always been interested in taking on those buildings and making it part of a ministry that can really serve our community here. And so let us build up and not destroy, as Pope Francis reminds us, right? Pope Francis reminds us of these things. And to do things that are good for the environment, and reusing things is the best thing that we can do for our environment. So, savenazareth.com. So, let's move on to our readings today. And our first reading is from the book of Genesis. And this is going to be quite beautiful, my brothers and sisters. You're really going to enjoy this program today. and maybe want to listen to it a time or two more. So our first reading today is from the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 14, 18 through 20. In those days, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. And being a priest of God Most High, he blessed Abram with these words. Blessed be Abram by God Most High, the creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who delivered your foes into your hand. Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beautiful reading there from the book of Genesis. And so on to our second reading today. Our second reading today is from 1 Corinthians 11. It's 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. Brothers and sisters, I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was handed over, took bread, and after he had given thanks, broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also the cup, after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beautiful reading there from Corinthians. We're going to go back to these and talk about every little part that the church teaches on these. Then the Gospel of Luke. Luke 9, chapter 9, 11 through 17. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus spoke to the crowds about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who needed to be cured. As the day was drawing to a close, the 12 approached him and said, "Dismiss the crowd, so that they can go to the surrounding villages and farms and find lodging and provisions. For we are in a deserted place here." He said to them, "Give them some food yourselves." They replied, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have, unless we ourselves go and buy food for all these people." Now the men there numbered about 5,000. Then he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50. They did so and made them all sit down. Then taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing over them, broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. They all ate and were satisfied. And when the leftover fragments were picked up, they filled 12 wicker baskets." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And may the words of this gospel wipe away our sins. So my brothers and sisters, powerful words, right? We all have heard this gospel before. This feeding of the 5,000. But I tell you a little bit of a secret here. The church has teachings about all of these scripture readings, most all everything that's in the Bible. In the catechism, you can cross-reference scripture readings back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But every so often you'll run into a piece of scripture where the church has no definitive teaching in the catechism. It may have a definitive teaching somewhere else that I'm not able to access, but there's no teaching of it definitively in the catechism on that little piece of scripture, or a big piece of scripture. In this case, a big piece of scripture. Well, my brothers and sisters, it's very interesting because in this gospel reading, the church has nothing in the catechism. This means one of two things. We focus in on the other two readings, but this reading ourselves, my brothers and sisters, and I offer this to you, that it is me and it is you who are sitting on that hillside this very day. And you and I are trying to decide, is this real? Is this really happening? What do these words mean? And for many of us, my brothers and sisters, many of us, even some Catholics, do not believe in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. Many Catholics. Yet, I have met some very old school Lutherans, some very old school Presbyterians, who believe in the real presence of the Eucharist, and they're not Catholics yet. But they believe this deep, deep, difficult teaching, this miracle of grace. And all of the sacraments, my brothers and sisters, all of the sacraments are all about God's grace. It's not about control. It's not about who's in charge. It's not about rules. It's not about how many classes or schools you go to, even though sometimes I think it might be that sometimes, especially with confirmation. But I tell you, my brothers and sisters, it is about sacramental grace. It is about helping us. It is about feeding us. And what Jesus says in this gospel is for our hearts, your heart and my heart, to open up, to break this open and insert this word of God into my heart. Luke chapter 9, 11 through 17. So I challenge you to do that. Catholics and non-Catholics alike, Buddhists, Muslims, atheists, I challenge you to be on the side of that mountain this day where Jesus multiplies the loaves. It is for you to decide. The church has left the door wide open, taking the door right off the hinges, so to speak. There is no excuse. You must choose. You must choose life. You must choose the truth. You must choose the path. You, not your neighbor, not your government, not your friends or who you hang out with. Not to say, well, that's the church that I grew up in, but I don't believe it anymore. I don't practice that anymore. I'm a grown up. I have a degree. I'm a doctor now. I don't kneel down for anybody. I make a lot of money. Well, believe me, my brothers and sisters, one day you will kneel down. Sometimes we kneel down plenty when we drink too much, right? Yeah. We think about these things, my brothers and sisters. Who do we kneel down for today? Do we kneel down for God? Are we even above God? It is a question. It's a hard question for us. It's a hard question for me. But the best is yet to come. So in case you're just joining us, this is the Epiphany Radio Program. My name is Deacon Louis Zemlich. We're here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, and today is the Feast of Corpus Christi, the Feast of the Most Holy Body, Blood of Jesus Christ, also known as Corpus Christi. It is surrounding, focusing in on the Holy Eucharist, Holy Communion. And as Catholics, we believe in the real presence of the Eucharist, the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity, in the bread and in the wine, the precious blood. And both. Doesn't mean you need to take both. You can just receive the body of Christ, or you can just receive the precious blood. But I tell you, my brothers and sisters, we need to think about this. Because many Christians do not get to enjoy this sacramental grace. Because many of the Bible churches today, even the Protestant churches today, are doing away with the sacraments. They're doing away with this grace. You know, one of the only graces that they're really holding on to anymore is baptism. And this grace, this sacrament, the grace that is poured out through these signs, through these things, through this bread, through this wine, through this oil, through this water. See? To heal us. To bless us. To heal our wounds inside and out. See? For we are wounded. Terribly wounded. Terribly wounded. Sometimes we need more than just prayers. We need that Holy Eucharist. We need Jesus to come into us, into our mouths, onto our tongues, down our throats, into our bodies, into our bloodstream. To feel that, to know that, that He is part of us. It is a reality. Many people will make fun of it. Oh, you don't believe that stuff. Oh my goodness. That's a bunch of old stuff. Well, here's the surprise, my brothers and sisters. 1 Corinthians. Actually, let's go to Genesis. Let's talk about Melchizedek, king of Salem. Now, no one knows who Melchizedek's mother or father was. Some say he is the prefigurement of Christ in a way. See? He is the high priest here in Genesis, showing us the priesthood in a certain way. See? So Melchizedek is a figure of Christ, a prefigurement of the offering of Melchizedek. And what does he offer, my brothers and sisters? Oranges and apples? No. Bibles and CD tracks? No. He offers bread and wine. Genesis, Old Testament. It is a prefigurement of the priesthood of Christ. Jesus is at God's right hand. These are the teachings of the church, my brothers and sisters. So beautiful. So full of beauty and depth. See, all the way back. And here's the big news, okay? So we got 10 minutes left or so. Here's the big news. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. 13, 14 different teachings from the Catechism on 1 Corinthians, these words that Paul gives us today, 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. And it's all about the Eucharist, my brothers and sisters. So there's Catholic theology. How about that? How about that Holy Communion? How about that Eucharist? See? This is a God thing, my brothers and sisters. This is a truth that cannot be ignored. God gives us an opportunity to open us up in this gospel today, right? Puts us on the side of the mountain where Jesus is feeding us, preaching to us. And I'm going to tell you all of these teachings. This is the Passover, this Last Supper. The Eucharist is applied to all the sins. All the sins we commit daily. A perpetual representation of our Lord on Calvary. But it is unbloody. Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. This Last Supper. And this word, Eucharist, a Greek word meaning thanksgiving. The breaking of the bread at the Last Supper. Christ institutes the Eucharist at the Last Supper. The sacrifice of the New Covenant through the blood of the covenant for the forgiveness of sins. We pray above all in the Eucharist, O Lord, come. Come to us, Lord. The sacramental grace through the Eucharist, especially through the Eucharist, this holy food that we receive as Catholics. And my brothers and sisters, as Catholics, if you are coming up and receiving the Eucharist unworthily, stay in your pew. If you haven't been to reconciliation, if you have mortal sin on your soul, stay in your pew. For you should not receive the Lord unworthily. Go to reconciliation and then represent yourself to the altar, to Christ. God will be in us and in everyone receiving the Eucharist, following the narrow way of the cross from meal to meal. You hear that? We follow the way of the cross from meal to meal, from Sunday to Sunday, from day to day. Another teaching this, and then I got one more reading to do. We have a remedy for the forgiveness of sins, and that is Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. The Eucharist and the Lord's Prayer. We look eagerly for the Lord's return until He comes again. So beautiful, my brothers and sisters. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. Meditate on it. Talk about it. Think about it. See? So this huge teaching is just unbelievable. But I want to read this one little piece from the Catechism, 1339 from the Catechism. I think you'll really like this. I hope you folks are as excited about this as me. In case you're just joining us, my name is Deacon Louis Zimlick in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. We're glad you're with us here today. And before I forget again, I invite you to go to the SaveNazareth.com website, sign the petition. We're still trying to get the attention of the management. And believe me, it is the management in Cleveland and maybe one or two managers here in Kalamazoo that we just have to pray for. We have to pray that they open their hearts and their minds give one more thought to not destroying that beautiful historic chapel and mother house out there. You know, it's just a beautiful place that should not be destroyed. So we pray, Lord Jesus, help us. We pray, Blessed Mother Mary, pray for us and help us. And most of all, Saint Joseph, we pray, please pray for us and help us. So here we go with 1339 of the Catechism. And this is in regards to the Passover, the Last Supper. See, the Passover meal. Okay, here we go. Jesus chose the time of Passover to fulfill what he had announced at Capernaum. giving his disciples his body and his blood. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover meal for us, that we may eat it." They went and prepared the Passover. And when the hour had come, he sat at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I shall not eat again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise the cup, after supper, saying, "This is the cup which is poured out for you. Is the new covenant in my blood." So it is just so powerful, my brothers and sisters. And it goes on here. By celebrating the Last Supper with his apostles in the course of the Passover meal, Jesus gave the Jewish Passover its definitive meaning. Jesus passes over to his Father by his death and resurrection. And the new Passover is anticipated in the supper and celebrated in the Eucharist, which fulfills the Jewish Passover and anticipates the final Passover of the church and the glory of the kingdom. My brothers and sisters, it is so amazing. You know, the Catholic Church, I tell people, we're very Jewish, because the Catholic Church, this is the fulfillment. Christianity is the fulfillment of Judaism, my brothers and sisters. It is not a total separate religion. It is the fulfillment of the Judeo-religion, the Jewish religion, the fulfillment of all the prophecies. And it is so beautiful. So I hope, my brothers and sisters, you try to get to Mass. You try to make it to Mass. You know, last weekend was Father's Day, you know, and if it didn't go well or whatever the case may be, I still continue to encourage you to connect to your families, to heal, especially if your fathers have fallen very short, especially if you're a father who has fallen short and you know you have. My brothers and sisters, there is healing, there is forgiveness, and there is love and the power of Jesus Christ. Ask for the Blessed Mother Mary's help. Ask for her help to soften your heart, to reconcile with your family. And if your father has fallen short, you know, forgive him. We all have the great power of God Almighty resting inside of us, and we refuse to use it. We refuse to have the courage to stand up for the good and beautiful things that we need to do in this world, including these things that are, you know, things that are going on at Nazareth, but things that are going on all over the world. We need to, my brothers and sisters, we need to stand up. And finally this, from EWTN, The Theology of the Body by Pope John Paul, this teaching, Christ's appeal to man's heart. From the general audience of the 16th of April, 1980, the Holy Father continued his catechesis on the theology of the body. By turning to Christ's teaching in the Sermon on the Mount on adultery in the heart. Wow. There's something for us to contemplate this week, my brothers and sisters. What's in my heart that needs to be healed? Christ can heal it. Ask him for help today. May Almighty God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God bless you all. We love you. Go to Mass.